You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Maestro, do you ever wake up grumpy?
You'd have to ask my wife. I try not to, but I'm sure there are times when I do.
I hear you. Well, you seem like you're always kind of happy-go-lucky, which is good. Every time I see you, you seem to be in a good mood, even if you really inside feel like ripping someone apart. you do come across pretty happy-go-lucky, which is a good thing. That's the way we should be in the Lord. So. I try to be a little happy-go-lucky myself, although I must confess that from time to time I wake up very, very grumpy. It's not a pretty sight, especially on a bad hair day. I don't like bad hair. And so today I want to address what to do when it's time for you to go to work and you're feeling grumpy. Welcome to Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And Career Callings, our purpose is to help you find, or rather to avoid, the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. Feel free to join us today. We invite your questions and comments by phone, text, or email. To call or text, join us at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net, or robbie@careercallings.net. While on the internet the other day, I ran across a BBC, that would be British Broadcasting, what does the C stand
corporation.
For? Corporation. Boy, I just had a brain fade, didn't I? Ran across the British Broadcasting Corporation, or BBC broadcast, called The Grumpy Guide to Work. Now, I did not make it through the entire show. I did not watch the entire thing, but here's a little sampling of the tone of the show that the show was set with. So let's listen to this real quick.
I would hate to have to do a proper job. To have to put on a suit every day. Nightmare.
Work, work, work. It's the four-letter word that we all have to deal with.
There's got to be better things to do in my time than this.
And nothing exasperates our state of grumpiness like knowing that we are a mere cog in someone else's machine.
I don't think it could be any more soul-destroying.
Whether it's looking for it, commuting to it, actually doing it, avoiding it, surviving your colleagues in it, or quitting it, when it comes to work, every rung of the career ladder is rotten.
Droning on and just achieving nothing.
Work is the daily grind that takes over our very existence, absorbs all our time, and deprives us of the simple joys in life. All that, so we can be paid a pittance to make some other bugger rich.
I must admit that I'm a little depressed after listening to that audio clip. I mean, that's just downright depressing. It really didn't hit me that hard when I was listening to it the first time, but that time is just, ugh. So where does all that grumpiness come from? I mean, when you wake up feeling like that about your workplace, what's making that happen? Well, there's lots of factors that can contribute to that, of course. For example, your values and the values that you find in your workplace, maybe they don't match up on your own. So if your workplace values and your values are at odds, you're going to be miserable, no doubt about that. Personality conflicts, obviously, that if you are like oil in water with your boss or with your coworkers, that can certainly cause some grumpiness there. Working in a job that doesn't match up with your personality, your passions, your skills and abilities. So, you know, at the end of the day, you might have done a work or you might have done a job, but you don't feel fulfilled at a fundamental level because you're not doing some work that's directly in line with God's calling for your life. And all these things can contribute to grumpiness, and I get it. And that's the kind of stuff we do at Career Callings to try to help you understand, you know, what kind of work God designed you for, help you understand what your personality type is like so that you can kind of know what kind of work environment or personality mix you would fit into. Also help you understand your workplace values so that you can weed through job opportunities that have a workplace environment that don't match up with your values. So there's a lot to finding a career in line with God's calling for your life in a career setting that is what He designed you to be involved in. Now, let me just, even with all that said, let me share a few thoughts with you that I've had shared with me over the years, because I've dealt with my own, share of grumpiness over the years and discontent with workplace environments. So the Lord has showed me some things through other people and through Bible verses, and maybe these can help you with any grumpy issues you're dealing with as you wait for the Lord to show you where your next career step is. And to start that off, let's talk about Philippians 2, 14 and 15, one of my favorite passages in the Bible dealing with this issue. And I'm going to read to you from the Amplified Bible version. It's a great study tool. My preferred favorite is the King James Version, but when I want to do some deeper understanding of some of the Greek and Hebrew words, I use the Amplified Bible because it does give you the meanings of those words in parentheses and such so that you can understand them. Do all things without grumbling and fault-finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves, that you may show yourselves to be blameless, guileless, innocent, and uncontaminated, children of God without blemish, faultless, unrebukable, in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, who spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright lights, as stars or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world. Now, to kind of apply that to real life, back in August 13, 1996, former Oklahoma Congressman J.C. Watts stated the following at a Republican Party National Convention. He was one of the speakers there, and he said this, quote, "Character is doing the right thing when nobody's looking. There are too many people who think that the only thing that's right is to get by, and the only thing that's wrong is to get caught," end quote. And I agree with Mr. Watts. We are certainly to do the right thing when no one is looking. Of course, there's always someone looking. There's God looking. But from a human standpoint, even when no human is looking, we ought to be doing the right thing. But I think Mr. Watts would no doubt agree with me that we also ought to do the right thing when other people are looking. It's when other people see the content of our character displayed in the daily humdrum of our lives that they can tell what stuff we're really made of. And this is where the grumpiness comes in, the grumpiness issue comes in. If we allow grumbling, if we allow fault-finding, if we allow gossiping, complaining to dominate our character, even in the workplace, then we tell the world that it is our human nature, not God's supernatural character, that governs us. I mean, in contrast to that, if we display honesty, if we display peacefulness, care for others in our lives, if we put up with the garbage that other people put on us, even at the workplace, then we will show others that something unnatural, God's supernatural nature, is in control of us. And when God's nature controls us, then our character will shine like a light in a dark tunnel. And it really is unusual to be at peace when the world around you is falling apart, when you're not happy at work, when the values at work don't match up with your values, when the people that you work with are like oil and water. But when you're still at peace in those kind of circumstances, when you still have a happy attitude like Maestro here does, then others will notice. And not all, but many will at some point be curious enough to ask you why you can be at such peace, why you can appear so happy. And then it's at that time you'll have a wide open door to share the God that is the source of your peace. I mean, God puts us in our workplaces to be ambassadors for Him. That's our mission field. You don't have to be a missionary going overseas somewhere to be a missionary. You are a missionary where you are today, whether it be at school, whether it be at work, whether it be anywhere that you are. So if you woke up grumpy this morning, that happens. I get it. It happens to me, happens to you, no doubt. But realize that when that happens, that it's your human nature, not God's supernatural nature, that you woke up attuned to this morning. And before you leave your home to take on the world, snuggle up with God and ask Him to take over, to put His supernatural enablement in your soul, to give you the power to shine His character rather than your own human character. Because if you try to command your human nature into submission, it will not listen. If you try to pep talk yourself, I mean, that'll work for a little bit, but it won't work for a long time. But if you allow God to command your character into submission, it'll have to obey, because God has more power than anyone we can possibly imagine. So just remember that. Also remember that Christ is coming back for us soon. And that's a great motivator for being happy and not being grumpy. Whether He's coming back for us in death, whether He's coming back for us in the rapture, He is definitely coming, and that's just spurring us on to not be grumpy. And actually, the Bible talks about this very thing. James, the book of James, chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, says this, again quoting from the Amplified Bible version, "So be patient, brethren, as you wait till the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits expectantly for the precious harvest from the land. See how he keeps up his patient vigil over it until it receives the early and late rains. So you also must be patient. Establish your hearts. Strengthen and confirm them in the final certainty, for the coming of the Lord is very near." And here it is. Because we're waiting on God, this is what verse 9 of chapter 5 of the book of James says. Do not complain. Because God's coming back, do not complain, brethren, one against another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Look, the judge is already standing at the very door. We don't know when Christ is coming back for us, whether it be in our death or whether it be through the rapture. We don't know. What we do know is the Bible teaches us that because He's coming back, we ought to have hope, we ought to have peace, we ought not complain, we ought to have an attitude of joy that other people recognize both inside the church and outside the church in our workplaces each and every day. For we are indeed His ambassadors in whatever workplace we're in. And like I said a few moments ago, our workplace is our mission field, and we absolutely need to act like it. And if you're not, understand that's normal, but we're not called to be normal. We're called to be supernormal, and only Christ can do that for us. All right, we got to go to a break here, and when we get back from the break, we'll pick up with a different topic. What parents should tell their kids about finding a career. So sit tight. Come on back in just a few moments. Career Callings with Robbie Romeiser.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here, providing you by God's grace with a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. What a time of upheaval we are living in today. I invite you to join me for our next broadcast right here on The Line of Fire, where we'll bring you a kingdom perspective on what's happening in our world.
The Line of Fire, every Sunday afternoon at 2 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
I heard a famous author say once that no matter how fantastic your book is, it will never be a best-selling book until you promote. The same is true with whatever you're trying to sell, whether it's a product for work, a fundraiser for your school, or a nonprofit's message to the world. Great signage is the foundation of any marketing effort, and no one is better at providing you with great signage than my friends at Signforce. Joey Harrison and his staff are a one-stop shop for all of your marketing needs. Handcrafted signs, vehicle wraps, screen printing, embroidering, business cards, and brochures, there's nothing the folks at Signforce can't do. I've personally used Signforce for signage for my business and for our church, and Signforce has beautifully wrapped two buses for our Christian school. If you need to promote anything, Signforce will deliver a great product at a great price and with great speed. Give Joey and his folks a call at 864-582-3600 or check out their website at signforcesc.com. That's 864-582-3600, signforcesc.com.
If you want to grab a fresh baked pastry or sandwich and enjoy a Carolina roasted cup of coffee or an all-fruit smoothie while you work, you've got to stop in at Port City Java, located in beautiful downtown Greenville at 11 South Main Street. They offer professionals a unique, friendly atmosphere where you can order breakfast or lunch all day from 6:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. or later. They have great indoor and outdoor seating. Port City Java, celebrating 20 years of coffee roasted right here in the Carolinas.
Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
She wants to be home with her friends, but at this moment, she's fighting a brain tumor.
Please take a moment and join St. Jude in finding cures and saving children. Visit stjude.org.
Christian Talk 660, online at christiantalk660.com.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of. Perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Looking for a reason, roaming through the night to find my place in this world, my place in this world. Not a lot to lean on, I need your life to help me find my place in this world, my place in this world. Looking for
I am so glad we're done with that first segment, Maestro. I tell you, that that topic about grumpiness, like I said before the break, that BBC show was, that little clip we played was kind of depressing. I mean, you have to go to work in the morning. And when you get up and go to work in the morning, it's all rotten. It's all rotten, I tell you. It's awful. Just awful work is awful. All right, that yeah, was... That
shake
was,
it off,
I mean,
Robbie.
That was just ugh.
You need a little Taylor Swift. Shake it off.
I did. I got up and did some jumping jacks, listened to some happy music, went to my happy place during the break so that I could get back and be all perky for the second half of the show. So let's do that. This is Robbie Romeiser with Career Callings. Feel free to join us on the program today at 864-381-7649 or Robbie, R-O-B-B-I-E, at careercallings.net. I want to kind of shift gears and talk about a different topic. What parents should tell their kids about finding a career. Of course, many of you know from listening to the show, many who are new to the show may not have heard this before, but one of the reasons why I started Career Callings in the first place is so that I could indeed guide my own children in how to find God's calling in their life from a vocational standpoint, how to help them understand how God created them to do certain types of work, and how to go about finding the type of work that matches with God's design for their life. Well, I ran across an article from a guy named James Citron, and he wrote this for the Harvard Business Review, and it was entitled What Parents Should Tell Their Kids About Finding a Career. Now I don't have any idea whether or not Mr. Citron is a Christian. He certainly did not overly address the Christian standpoint of what we teach at Career Callings, but he had some good insights in here, and I just wanted to share some of those with you as they as I enjoyed them for myself. And he quoted a small interview he had with a guy named Dave Calhoun. Dave Calhoun was, I guess, a friend of his, and this is what Dave said after this, or during this interview. Quote, after board dinners, we inevitably sit around and talk about our kids and their careers. Frankly, we're often at a loss with how to help them, end quote. Now, what James Citron mentioned about Dave Calhoun is this. Dave is the chairman of the Nielsen's board. He sits on several boards, like the boards of Boeing Corporation, Caterpillar Corporation, and is on the management committee of a company called Blackstone. So this is a high-powered guy, and the question is, if someone like that doesn't know what kind of career advice to give to his kids, and the people on his boards don't, then it's a pretty common problem. People don't know how to give guidance to their children, and for many reasons, because they haven't gotten guidance for themselves. They're still kind of fishing, and that's a very, very common thing. So if you're in that boat, don't feel alone. Don't feel bad. Let's hopefully we can clarify the muddy waters a little bit for you here over the next few minutes. And one of the things that James mentioned in the article is to begin telling your kids at an early age that the early going of their career, during that phase called the aspiration phase, they will be more valued for their potential rather than their experience or track record. And that's pretty good insight. I know a lot of times people are focused on what have you done in the past, and that's certainly something you do want to address in attempts to interview, for example, with jobs and whatnot. But for a college kid, maybe someone who's just graduated from college, or maybe in high school for that matter, there's a lot more of the need to focus on, based on this little bit I've done in my short life, this is what I think I can do for you in the future. And selling your potential to a potential employer is a very important thing to remember. And also, it's important for these young people to remember that the most important objective during this phase of their career is to discover their strengths and their interests and to begin learning some marketable skills. And they should try out many different types of tasks and jobs as possible and get feedback from their peers, from their friends, from their parents, from mentors to help them identify what they're really good at. Now, at Career Callings, we have a process that will help people to really narrow down many of those questions up front rather than having to spend years and years in certain different types of jobs trying to figure it out on their own through trial and error. But even so, even with biblical guidance to help you understand how God designed you for certain types of work and to help you understand what your strengths and weaknesses are, even with all of that upfront attention, it still will take some experience in the workplace to really flesh out some of those details over time. So there's going to always be that component to life. Now, as far as the idea of selling your potential, there's a lot of truth to that. How do you think most small businesses that seek venture capital funding acquire millions of dollars from investors when they haven't made the first lick of profit? They're selling their potential. They're selling their plan. They're selling an idea. So if your kids can sell themselves on being things like trainable, having a good work ethic, being obedient to authority, they can stand above their competition who may have a similar skill set. That's, of course, assuming that they are trainable, that they do have a good work ethic, and that they are obedient to authority. Now, if they're not those things, this doesn't make sense to claim that they are, because it won't take long for the employer to figure out that they aren't. But if they are these things, then they should sell their potential on being trainable and so forth. They don't want to just say these things. They want to be able to tell star stories that prove they have these traits. In other words, don't just go into an interview and say, "Hey, I'm trainable." Tell a story of something that happened in the past where you proved through past experience that you were trainable. Maybe you tried to do something in school for the yearbook, if you were on the yearbook committee, and something didn't go right, and your yearbook advisor showed you how to do it right, and you were willing to listen. Any kind of extracurricular activities at school or in jobs that maybe you did have as a young person, just tell stories of how you were trainable, obedient to authority, and had a good work ethic. Another phase in the workplace process is something that Mr. Citrick calls the promise phase. The promise phase is during this stage, the value of the worker is to begin to recognize that you will be recognized through compensation and promotions and access to the best assignments and mentors. In other words, you'll be developing some skill sets and some qualities that people will begin to recognize. You'll start moving up, if I can say it this way, the corporate ladder in your profession. Now, your kids may not end up going to a corporation per se, but they will advance in their careers. And as they build experience, they'll gain some insight into themselves, the types of things they do and don't do well, types of environments they do and don't work well in, and they should reflect on the types of work that God has designed them to do and then go to the next stage of pursuing a career in line with that. Also, if your college graduate is struggling to answer these questions, help them understand that there are inevitable trade-offs to be made between three very important but competing factors. Number one, job satisfaction. Number two, lifestyle. Number three, money. What do we mean by that? Well, with job satisfaction, we can define this as the inherent quality of what people are working on, the impact of their role in that workplace, and how much autonomy they have and how much they're learning. Lifestyle would be where you live, your working hours, how much control you have over your schedule. Money would be things like how much you're getting paid, your bonus potential, perhaps even equity or long-term compensation. And Mr. Citrick calls this the work or career triangle. And really, when people are dissatisfied with their workplace or their work environment or their career, I should say, it's because one or more of these things are out of balance. If you're really focused on money, then you might be in a job that creates a lot of money for you or gives you a lot of money, but your job satisfaction might be horrible. Your lifestyle might be horrible because you might be working 80 hours a week, never see your family, never have any time for yourself. And when your young person is out of balance like that, help them to understand that, you know, you really want to find a position where all three are in play, properly balanced. If you're making a lot of money but your lifestyle stinks and your job satisfaction stinks, then find a career where maybe you doesn't earn as much money, but your job satisfaction and lifestyle do indeed work or more in balance. Same thing with the others. Maybe your job satisfaction is wonderful, but your lifestyle and money is not working out too well because you're in a position that doesn't pay well and also is a very strong drain on your lifestyle desire. So it's all a matter of balance. And your young person, as you try to coach them and help them understand what it means to explore God's calling for their life career-wise, it's all about finding balance in those three things. finally, the goal, like I said, is to max out all three of those. And the final key point to stress with your kids is how careers really work is the power of relationships. In other words, you want to encourage your kids to have a relationship mindset, always seeking to help other people, making an extra effort to be polite to everyone they come into contact with, and also that's regardless of whether or not they're working with a peer or someone in authority over them. And here's a key thing or an interesting thing that he said towards the end of his article. I would advise you to not encourage your children to network. Trust me, they've been buffered by messages about how everything happens through networking. And so he's saying just kind of let them find their way. Don't ask them necessarily to go to all the Chamber of Commerce business after hours, handing out business cards and so on. And let me just kind of give you a thought or two of my own about how that works. You know, there is some value in networking and going to those big events where you meet people. But I'm a big proponent of not doing that unless you're wired that way. I think the best way you can build your own personal network is to make an impact in areas where God has designed you to make an impact. What does that mean? Well, if you have a passion for certain types of work and that you can volunteer for, whether it be a church or in some sort of civic club, then make an impact there. Don't join a civic club. That was one of the biggest mistakes I made as a young salesperson years ago. I joined a civic club just so I could make contacts. And I think the people there knew that's why I had joined. Never made a sale to any of those people. What you should do is join an organization so that you, because you're passionate about the work, if you're passionate about the work, you'll do it well. People will recognize that. And then when they need you business-wise, they will come to you. And that's one of the best ways to network. Well, thanks for joining us again today with Career Callings. This is Robbie Romeiser. Feel free to get a free copy of the podcast at careercallings.net/radio and also links to these videos and articles we covered today. The two most important days in your life are the day you're born and the day you find out why. If you don't know why God made you, go find out.